Hey, sister.
Hi, sister.
Welcome to Mary's Cup of Tea.
I'm excited. I'm very excited.
Are you nervous?
A little bit, yeah.
That's okay. We'll warm up because we'll talk like how we always talk. We just be yapping all the time.
Yeah, talking a little shit, a little... But you know what? It's okay. It's okay.
That's what sisters are for.
Perfect.
Hi, hello. Welcome to Mary's Cup of Tea, the self-love podcast for women, though all self-lovers are welcome here. I'm Mary. I write and speak about self-love, and I'm best known for my book, The Gift of Self-Love, and I also host retreats for women. And this is the podcast that will inspire you to love yourself.
And this episode is long overdue because we've been wanting to record a podcast together for over a year for your 16th birthday.
Yeah, I turned 17 2 weeks ago, just to put that out there.
So I've been percolating on this for over a year. And in my defense, look how beautiful my new podcast studio is.
Absolutely gorgeous. Look at this lighting, the placement, the walls, everything about it looks great.
This is what I wanted for us. Also, I'm now noticing that you're wearing a silver bangle and I'm wearing a gold bangle.
Twins. You're the gold to my silver.
Oh, yes. Stop. Well, let's start with the question that I ask all guests that come on the podcast. What is your proverbial cup of tea? Proverbial means like metaphorical.
Well, I just started a new painting. It's 4 feet long. It's huge. I just finished one little part of it yesterday and I'm pretty happy about it. I've been working on it for the last like 4 days or so. I really like it. It's going to be one of my favorites, I think, because I love drawing on like the big scale. So like this is like my fourth painting that's actually like huge, but like this one's not a replica. It's like my own idea.
I know our listeners are assuming that it's a 4 foot long painting of your beautiful big sister.
Oh yeah.
So just in case that assumption is wrong, what is your painting of?
Well, I'm really bad at planning. I hate doing planning for any sort of piece. I didn't do it at all last year for AP Art. Sorry, my teachers. So I only have half of it planned. And it is a bunch of tigers. There's like 5 tigers in there and they're like growling at the other side. And it's going to be more, it's like a juxtaposition. I know that's like one of your favorite things ever.
It's my favorite word.
Oh, yeah. And the other side, I think I might do like some kind of like lady, maybe calming the tiger, like, stay back, tiger. It's okay. And it's like all these tigers are like growling at her. And, you know,
I know a lady who would be the perfect muse for your calming the tiger painting.
Mom?
Okay, I'll let it go for now because we are on the radio show. Let's talk about France because we just got home from France.
Just a week ago. It was genuinely so much fun. Like, I don't even have words to describe it in the moment because it was just like literally the perfect trip. I've been wanting to go since I was 8. My direct quote is, I can't wait to eat croissants and baguettes in front of the Eiffel Tower. Funny enough that we didn't get our first croissant until the day we left, but that's okay.
Like our first real croissant because we were enjoying pain au chocolat.
Which I can't, don't even get me started. Those were absolutely amazing.
And we had chocolate mousse in front of the Eiffel Tower on our first night.
That was a highlight for sure. That was so good.
So good. And then we went back on our last night to go have that chocolate mousse again. But they freaking booked out the whole restaurant for a private party.
They were like partying at the top of, because it was like on the Seine and there was like a rooftop, which is like where you could see the Eiffel Tower. And there was like a bunch of people in there. They were partying. And then we walked through and it's like booked out.
Alana literally goes to the poor host guy. She's like, you ruined my birthday.
Okay, I wasn't that aggressive. I was like, it's okay, you just ruined my birthday. And I walked away. I was more sassy with it.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Let's talk about, why did we decide to make this a sisters only trip?
My mom did want to go with us, but that wasn't until after we already booked the tickets, after we decided, because her motto was that she hated France.
Okay, backstory. Backstory here. I was conceived in Paris. Did I tell you this?
No.
I was conceived in Paris.
Lucky you, I guess. I was conceived in, Arizona.
Probably next door to my bedroom. Sorry, this is so gross. Oh, okay. Yeah. So backstory, I was conceived in Paris. It's where my parents went on their honeymoon. My mom went there with my dad. My dad sucks. So she didn't feel the need to go back.
Fair.
That's it. Yeah, it makes sense. When we said we wanted to go to France, mom was like, I don't want to go there. And then I found a straight flight from Phoenix to France, which they had just opened up. It was just so clutch. So mom at first was like, well, what if you girls just like went on your own, whatever. And then as soon as I actually booked the tickets for us to go on our own or whatever, she was like, well, maybe I want to go with you.
Are you sure you want to go by yourself?
And then at that point, we were like, this has to be a sister trip because it was your first time abroad, right?
Yes.
First time overseas. We also just like have never really done anything like that. And I wanted to make those core memories.
Definitely. Besides going to camp, I feel like that's the only time we've really like traveled together. Just me and you. Just camp.
Just me and you. And then I talked to a retreat sister who's come to 2 retreats before. I believe she has French Canadian origins, and her first trip abroad was also to France with her big sister or her little sister. Anyway, she was telling me during the retreat in December that I had in Portugal over dinner, she just spent an entire dinner convincing me to take you to France. So you have to write Janelle a thank you card.
Thank you. Thank you, Janelle. Thank you. It was the best trip.
She said me and my sister fought and we laughed and we had so much fun and we made core memories and it was like all the sisterhood experiences packed into one trip.
But I mean, we didn't fight that much.
Did not fight that much, surprisingly.
We did very good.
Like what, 1.5 times?
Yeah.
2.5 times? Are you counting the time that I started crying?
I'm counting that as the half. Was your half?
I guess that's my half too.
Okay, because like we weren't really fighting. I was just being yelled at.
No.
Over something. It was my fault, but not my fault.
Okay.
For backstory, how this fight came about.
Are you talking about the half fight?
Yes.
Okay.
How this came about was we had just gotten to Lyon and we step out of the train. And she's like, you offer me like a Fit Crunch bar. And I was like, I want some real food. And so we get back to our spot.
Just my POV. I said, do you want a Fit Crunch bar? And you said, when will we have dinner? And I said, by the time we get to our apartment and find a place and everything, it might be like another hour. Do you want this to hold you over? And you were like, yes, but like, I'm also ready to eat in the next hour. Mm-hmm. So my big sister clock starts working. And I'm like, we gotta feed us in the next hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then we get back to our spot and my sister immediately goes horizontal. For those who don't know what that means, it means literally horizontal on the bed. And she, you know, is scrolling on her phone, like having a little enrichment time, as I like to call it. And so I'm like, all right, this is the vibe. I could use this. So I go next to her, lay horizontal with her. She's not speaking a word to me. All right. Okay. I would love some enrichment time too. That's fine. And then she is apparently starting to look for places to eat and bookmarking things. And I am not, because I thought that we were laying horizontal for a little bit. Next thing I know, she turns to me. She's like, did you find somewhere to eat yet? No. Why not? I thought we were laying down.
I wish I could be mad at you, but this is just too funny.
She was not happy that I hadn't found a place to eat yet. And then it went on to, I do all the work and I'm doing all this and there's so much effort. And she's like, my back hurts. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And she's like, but my back hurts. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And then she's just yelling at me and she starts to cry. And then she's like, I love you. I'm like, I love you too.
The whole trip was like intense personal growth for me. I just realized like I guess I've always known this, but even more so, I'm so hard on myself when it comes to you and like how I show up for you that it ruins how I show up for you.
We notice this, but not that it ruins it, but it's definitely the overthinking is there.
I was just trying so hard to like pick every perfect place and to plan and get us fed on time and to have, you know, every day be like the most beautiful, magical, wonderful day. And I put a lot of pressure on myself doing that. And then, you know, the resentment builds up and then you explode at whatever is in front of you.
Yeah.
And also with my back pain. So then I kind of realized this as I was yelling at you. And I just started crying. I was like, oh my God, I'm literally the worst. Because I'm just like taking out kind of like my inner overwhelm compiled with my physical pain out on my little sister, who the whole time, like, oh my God, Alana is so patient and understanding. She's like, I'm, you know, okay, let me try to find a place. Like, she's just so, so patient, especially with my back pain. Like, she was always checking in, making sure that I had what I needed and that we took breaks and everything. And as I'm like seeing her face, like legitimately sad and like wanting to make it right, I felt like the worst sister ever, because I was being the worst sister ever in that moment. So then I started crying and apologizing. So that's the half fight.
Yeah. The other fights, which were, I feel like arguably were even more stupid. I didn't want to try her tartine.
She didn't. I had the best tartine. You're minimizing it. You're invalidating my feelings.
I apologize.
This was on like our 10th day together, okay? It's mm-hmm. our like second to last night in Paris, right? Mm-hmm. The whole trip, we share food. The whole trip, we shared every single meal. Like yeah. we always got the two or three things that we wanted and we would share them. That's what sisters do. That's so what people who we love want. Each other do.
We'll continue because then I'm going to butt in later.
The waiter at this one French place recommended, and also is our first French restaurant.
The 10th day of France.
Like our first.
After like a 6 hour long train ride.
Yeah. We really wanted French onion yeah. soup, but they didn't have it in the summer. So anyway, we went to this restaurant and the waiter recommended the tartine, which is like toast in French, I guess. Tomatoes on top. Everything's like nicely marinated. It's so yummy and delicious. I say, hey, do you want a bite? She says no.
I did say no.
So I said, why are you mad at me?
I don't want the tartine.
And I said, what's going on? What did I say? What did I do?
That you did not say that. You go, okay, fine.
Okay.
Don't.
In my head. Don't.
You're invalidating my feelings, my perspective.
In my head, I thought you hated me.
Yeah.
So she says no. She rejects my tartine. I think, why do you hate me? But I was like, okay, whatever. Meanwhile, Alana's eating escargot. I'm having some of it.
I'm loving it.
Go ahead.
She's like, I think you've had escargot before. And I'm like, no. Because I feel like I would remember if I ate something that I wouldn't usually eat. Like, you know, oysters or a snail or frog legs or something that's just out of the ordinary for me. So I'm like, no. And she's like, no, I think you did.
Because we went on a cruise when she was five.
Five?
No, wait. No, you were probably seven. And you tried escargot then.
I don't think so. I really don't think so.
So then you said, I was like, oh, you tried escargot. And you were like, no, I didn't. And I was like, well, I was there. And then we fought. Well, we didn't fight. We actually just did not talk to each other the rest of the night.
Yeah. And then she's like, do you want to get dessert? And I was like ready to get out of there. It was so awkward. I was ready to just walk home and then just shower and then be done. And I'm like, I'm okay. And I'm like, did you want dessert though? And she's like, well, yeah, I was really looking forward to it, but whatever. I was like, you could get some. And she's like, no, it's fine.
At that point, I was already food rejected by you.
Sorry. And then, and then we get back to our Airbnb and I find these little chocolates in the bottom of my of my bag.
Backstory about the chocolates. So these little chocolates, we were in Monaco and we were trying to find a place to have a drink, but everything was like so expensive. So
like 40 euros per drink.
Per expensive. Drink. So we sat at this one bar and we're looking at the menu and we're kind of like, we can't afford this. But then I saw out of the corner of my eye that it was right outside the Monte Carlo. It was like a little bar. So I saw what I thought were matchboxes. So I was like, I'm going to get a little souvenir for myself, a little matchbox. And come to find out, they're little dark chocolates. So I was like, even better.
Handful.
Not handful. I took like four. Well, which fit nicely in my hand.
Ergo.
Handful. Who says ergo?
I don't know.
Last time I heard that was in that episode of The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
Did you bring in the newspaper? What do you need the newspaper for? Remember our current events homework? The teacher was serious about that? Yes, and we find current events in the newspaper. Ergo, we need the newspaper.
Wait. Did you just say ergo?
Yes, it's my word of the day, and I got to use it before breakfast.
All right.
Sorry, I like to broaden my vocabulary.
Ooh. Hey, self-lover, sorry to interrupt, but do you have my self-love playlist? There's over 300, if not 400 songs on it that are so fun and uplifting and empowering, and I think will really be perfect for when you're getting ready, trying to hype yourself up, dealing with a bad body image day, or anytime you just want a little boost of self-love, these tracks will do it for you. So head to maryscupoftea.com/playlist to get it and know that I am dancing and jamming with you from afar. Cheers. So I take 4 chocolates. We have 2 right then and there, and then we save 2 for later. Mm-hmm. Somehow they ended up in Alana's purse because I think I was borrowing her purse that day. And then this is like two or three days later that we're back in Paris after she rejected my tartine, argued with me about whether or not she had escargot, and did not want to have dessert with me that night.
Okay. All right.
I come out of the bathroom after I brush my teeth, and on the little bistro table in our Airbnb are the 2 chocolates. And y'all, okay, this is what I'm saying. This is perspective. And this is why I'm saying this whole trip was like personal growth for me. My POV.
Okay.
I walk out of the bathroom, on the bistro table are the 2 little chocolates. I thought, sorry, it sounds so ridiculous now that I'm recapping it. I thought she hates me. Like, she literally hates me and wants me dead, because at this point I've been food rejected 2. I thought this was like the 3rd way that I was food rejected, that ergo she meant to say that she does not even want to share these chocolates with me anymore. So she's giving them back to me.
Meanwhile, what I actually meant is the entire walk home, the 9-minute walk home, I'm like, crap, she wanted dessert. We always get dessert. Dessert is so important. I get home, I find these chocolates. My sister's already brushing her teeth, so I know I can't give them to her in the moment because can't you see I'm brushing my teeth? How am I supposed to have these now?
Okay, so also, I don't yell. I don't yell loudly. You yell.
I yell.
We both yell.
But there we
don't
go.
Yell.
We both, you just what? We both yell. I don't yell.
Well, okay, when I say I don't yell, is that yelling?
Like,
because I feel
is
like
a tone.
Your threshold of yelling is different than mine.
Yeah. Okay, we'll just put it at that. Anyways, so I leave these 2 chocolates right next to her hairbrush, which was just sitting on this little coffee table. I'm like, this is because I feel really bad we didn't get dessert. So here's a really tiny peace offering for dessert.
It was supposed to be a chocolate olive branch, and I thought it was a fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So rule of thumb, don't skip dessert. Just saying.
It might cost you a relationship. Let's talk about how we repaired and healed.
So the next morning, I'm waiting for her to finish up in the bathroom before I get ready. She comes out. She's mad at me that I'm not dressed, that I was just rolling around on the bed, which, you know, it was true. I was just kind of rolling around on the bed. But like, hey, I'm the type of person, I get my hair and my makeup done before I get my clothes on. It's just how I do it. And she was like, I'm going to wait outside because it's very hot in here. It was very hot. If you're not out by 12:07, I'm just going to leave and walk away without you. And this elevator, I'm like rushing as soon as she leaves out. This elevator takes so flipping long to get up and down. So I almost missed the deadline. She's starting to walk away as I walk out, and I'm like hurrying up, trying to catch up right behind her. I got my jeans caught on a door, and I was like, I didn't see that. And she's like, who put that there? And I'm like, stupid, stupid, stupid. And
so we're still making giggling. Our dad jokes.
Yes.
So then I take her to the best bakery in all of Paris.
We get a sandwich. We get the best pain au chocolat I've had in my entire life. We went the next day. Yes, we went back the next day and got another one. It was that good.
So good. It's called Mamiche.
Yeah, they've got a couple locations. It was so freaking good. And we get our food, our lattes. We're carrying them. We go to the park. We sit down. In silence, we start eating. In silence, we're looking at the birds. In silence, we turn looking towards each other. She's like, well, now that I have food in my system, I'm sorry and I love you. I go, I'm sorry and I love you. Boom, done. That's it.
It's not even exaggeration.
It's like over 15 hours of us not talking to each other. And it's just, I'm sorry and I love you. After a bite of pan au chocolat. So I'm just saying, food saves lives. Dessert? Order dessert.
Can make or break a relationship.
It's so true. Yeah. We should have some dessert after this.
Okay. So we talked about, we really dove into our lows, our 1.5 fights. Now let's talk about the highs.
Highs. Ugh. Right off the bat, I feel like everyone says this, but the Louvre, it's genuinely, there's so much to see. It's true. You can spend days and days and not see everything. And like, we missed like a whole section because we were just like really trying to go through all the other sections. It's really easy to get lost. And it's just, there's so much. Like, yeah, the Mona Lisa is cool, but like, look at the three paintings surrounding it. Absolutely amazing. Like, I don't even have words for it. There's statues, there's paintings, there's jewelry, there's a couture, a Louvre couture where they show.
You mean couture?
It's couture.
She's making fun of me because I say couture.
Okay, do you say juicy couture or juicy couture? It's spelled the same way. Just keep that in mind.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Couture. And we, like, there's a couture place, which, like, I'm mentioning this because I love fashion. Like, I genuinely, it's one of my biggest things that I really want to do. And they had a original, like, on display Vivienne Westwood dress. And I was just, like, in shock. I was, like, just staring at it because it was so beautiful. It doesn't look like anything she's created, but, like, it also does at the same time. Like, I don't even know how to say it. But they've got a whole section with, like, rooms decorated to match these dresses and the themes. And there's stories behind it. And you'll see, like, people, like, in chairs sitting with their watercolor and sketchbook out, like, recreating these. Especially if you're even minorly into art. It is so unbelievably worth it. We spent almost 5 hours there. And we... It was not enough. It really, really was not enough.
Yeah, we got kicked out.
Yeah, they came and they were like, oh, come on, it's time for you guys to get out. And they like walked us out because we were there a little bit past 9. Oops. It's insane. It was genuinely insane. It's so worth it. And I'm so happy I had the opportunity to go there, especially after my freshman year. I like had a little interview for art stuff and they're like, where do you see your paintings next? And I made like a little joke saying like the Louvre. And then when I came home, my mom was like, so did you find a spot where your painting would go?
Mom said it like dead ass.
She like wasn't joking. She was not giggling. She was like, did you find a spot? I'm like, yeah.
I wasn't gonna ask you this till later, but I think it's the perfect moment for you to tell us, like, how has art shaped your self-esteem?
Honestly, it's just kind of always been a part of me. And I don't even know how to describe it. I've just kind of always loved it. Specifically, my teacher. She has taught me just to notice, like, little things and pay attention to details. And I guess it's a blunt way to say it, but to like do things right versus rushing things, to like take your time to actually pay attention to the detail, pay attention to the way the light hits, like the shapes, the steps, using it correctly. And then after that, you kind of branch out and do whatever you want, if that makes sense. But it's always been a gateway to kind of like, oh, you know, I am having a rough time. I sit down with pencil and paper and I'm just sketching, even if it's just scribbles. I feel like it's a healthy way to just relieve whatever tension or stress or anything that's just like built up. Because there's so many ways to interpret art. You could draw an apple and it could mean something completely different because it's what you made it mean.
Do you think of yourself as an artist?
Ooh, I feel like anyone's an artist, and I feel like that's kind of a weird thing to say.
It's like Ratatouille. Anyone can cook.
But it's more like you don't realize how much art you consume or how much art you make until like it's actually laid out for you. Like every time you listen to a song or music, you are consuming art and you are also supporting an artist. And every time you walk into a house, architecture, that's an art. Or every time you even like paint colors on a wall or the way that you've done your walls with the Roman clay. Like that's an artist's technique. Cooking, that's art. Dancing, that's art. So there's so much art in the world that it's natural. Like nobody cannot be an artist, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's how I view it.
I was reading a poem this morning and it said something along the lines of like, they laugh at us for studying arts and philosophy and humanities, but yet we read poetry at funerals and recite songs at weddings and hang art on our walls.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like our most critical moments and our most precious spaces are filled with a piece of someone's mind in an art form.
Yeah, that's really true. I wouldn't say it's hard to be an artist, but to have the ability to convey what you feel in your head, that's what's the hard part. And that's what differentiates like the average person from an artist.
It's cool that you have, well, I am so honored that I got to experience your art teacher because I also used to take art classes from her. So this is my favorite story to tell. Mom and I, my mom. Accurately, my mom, though, because this was before you were born. Okay.
Okay.
My mom and I, before Alana was born, okay, you were in her belly. She was pregnant with you.
Okay, so my mom, my womb holder.
She signed us up for art classes at this Russian lady in town who has an art school. And all through her pregnancy, me and my mom would go take art classes. I stuck with it for maybe about 2 years. And my mom would paint so much, like so much when she was pregnant. So then somehow the running joke in our family is that Alana somehow came out as an artist. And it's because mom was painting when she was pregnant. So then we were talking about this and I turned to mom and I was like, well, what did you do when you were pregnant with me? And my mom, again, dead ass, unironically goes, learned English. So I speak English and Alana makes beautiful, breathtaking paintings.
You know, equal.
But I got to experience the same art teacher that Alana still has till this day. You've been in art for what, 8 years?
I have done her art classes for at least two hours every single week since I was 9 years old. Even on days that like I would miss a weekend, I would make it up during the week. Like I've not missed a single art class since I was 9. And I am now, 8 years. I'm now 17, so.
Yeah. And our art teacher, Lena, is like very traditional. She's very like by the book art techniques. It's very like realistic. You know, I think you have like Bob Ross energy inside of you, but the core of like who raised you as an artist is like, do things right, patience, light and shadow, notice the structure.
Yeah, she will tell you if something looks ugly. And I have been personal victim to that. And it actually is what got me into a program I am in at school, which got my art into a museum. So it's still there.
You can go see Alana's art at the Scottsdale
Museum of Contemporary Art. They've got an underlying theme of like identity, but like even if you don't want to paint about that, because like mine wasn't entirely about identity. Mine was more the exploration of color, which fun fact, when I was 9 years old, was the only thing Lena said that I was good at was color. She said I didn't know how to do proportions and that I was just not very good.
She's very blunt. Like picture a blunt Latvian lady.
She's definitely calmed down, at least towards me, over the last couple of years. But I would like to say I maybe have gotten a little bit better.
I don't know if this is PC, but like you have kind of earned her respect, I guess, and adoration too, just like being close over the years. Yeah. But she is a good teacher.
Definitely.
This is where I go on my like little boomer rant of like, I feel like that's one way our generation and like the way that we've kind of talked about like mental health and raising children and everything, we've kind of overcorrected in that there is like a lack of structure because we're so scared to offend. We're so scared to say it like it is. Like you mentioned before we started recording, like Lena will come up to your art and be like, yo, this guy's eye is crooked.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, fine, if you meant to make that eye crooked as like a form of art, but if you don't know how to draw a human face in the way a human face is drawn, then you're not going to have like the same kind of, I guess, creative freedom and expression and skill and talent if you don't learn the foundations first.
That's exactly her motto. I've definitely learned a lot from her.
Like, I look forward to art class now because, believe it or not, I used to dread it. I used to not like it. My mom made me stick through it. Thank God.
Yeah. You glad you stuck with it?
Definitely. Oh, for sure. I feel like I've had so many more opportunities because of my skill and just my patience and my ability to like correct myself on things and not just like say like, oh, this is good enough, but instead like I will completely scrap a painting if I really hate it that much.
Where do you draw the line between constructive self-criticism and perfectionism?
I don't know if I know the line yet, because just like, to be honest, I definitely find myself like when I had my little museum opening thing.
Big museum opening.
Whenever even like strangers would come up to me and be like, wow, you did this. Like, this is amazing. And like, look at it, read my artist statement. I would like feel the urge to just like, oh, well, I don't like how this looks. And like point out all the things I don't like. Like, I have a painting above my bed and every other night I like look at it and I see the one red strike that I did not do on the other side, because it's like the back of a person's like spiritual. And I did one red strike on one side and I forgot to make it symmetrical. And like, it bothers me so much. So whenever like a friend comes over and points it out or like talks about it, I'm always like, well, I didn't finish right there. I don't like the way that looks. I like this part, but I hate this part. So I don't know the line yet, but I'll get there one day.
It's interesting because that's not why your friends are talking about it, right? But we somehow feel the need to like preemptively apologize for what we see as a flaw.
Exactly. And I feel like we talked about this where you said that whenever we look in a mirror, like ourselves, when we look in the mirror for the purpose of changing something about ourselves, while when we look at another person and we look at somebody that we love or even like another person on the street, we're usually looking at that person because we like something about them, while like we always feel the need to just like change everything about ourselves. And that's why we have mirrors in our cell phones and are constantly like looking at ourselves as the second we pass a reflection.
It's so hard not to body check.
So unbelievably difficult.
We literally started in France, we started calling each other out when we like would walk by a reflection or like a window or something. Be like, you looked at yourself. You looked at yourself too. But it's so hard not to.
It's just everywhere. And it's so like normalized to just be constantly looking at yourself. I definitely feel like people were happier when they couldn't look at themselves.
Mm-hmm. I actually got that from Shan Boodram, who was on this podcast. It was a podcast about sex, but don't listen to it. She said that about how with like just body image insecurities in general, how she started looking at herself in the mirror just to exist with herself. I personally try not to look at myself in the mirror, but this was a different perspective where she said I would sit in front of the mirror and just like exist with myself, because every other time I'd look at myself in the mirror is to fix my hair, to do my makeup, to change something. Whereas when I exist with my husband or somebody I love, you know, I'm just looking at them because I'm listening to them, because I just see them for who they are, and I'm not like picking apart their skin or popping their pimples or fixing their hair. And I just, for some reason, just like really hit me, because every time we're faced with our own image and appearance, we critique it. And I think art is a piece of you projected onto a painting. So it's also hard not to.
Exactly. Well said.
One of my highs from our trip was pizza night.
That was so much fun. It was so simple, but so like, I feel like we bonded so much on that night. First of all, our view was absolutely beautiful.
So, okay, we saw this TikTok that said, if you're coming to Nice, go to this one pizza spot. They have 10 euro pizzas, get a pizza or two and go on the little boardwalk so you can sit on the beach, eat your pizza with a view of the sea, which is exactly what we did.
It was genuinely, it was just so much fun because I felt like we were with ourselves instead of like in a restaurant with people. Like, it was just us. Like, yeah, there were people around us, but like you literally balanced a pizza box on your head and walked to prove that you weren't tipsy from the wine.
And I walked so straight.
She did so good. And guys, life hack, if you can't find pineapple pizza and you like pineapple pizza, like, yeah, I'm a weirdo. Like, I love pineapple pizza. I don't care what people say. Pineapple pizza is the best pizza.
But they did not have it in France. Wop, wop.
So we just got ham pizza, pineapple juice on the side, and just like, so good. Gosh, let's just go back.
Okay, let's go.
All right.
I'm in. I can't wait to go back. I'm so stoked about this straight flight from Phoenix to France. I loved pizza night because we laughed so much.
Yeah.
And same with, I think it was the night before pizza night or two nights before pizza night where we had sushi night. Same thing. It was like casual. It wasn't like the best restaurant in town.
Yeah.
It was just a really casual night and we were the only table outside. So it was also just us. That's a good observation. Well, I talked your ear off that night, but I just felt very heard because I told you everything that happened with my ex and like how we broke up and you listened like very well, or like the longest I think that you've been able to listen to me as like a kid. And I had this moment of like, oh, like she's not a kid anymore.
Oh, yeah, that turning 17 already feels weird. I know that I have less than a year before I'm an adult, which I mean, it's not like it's going to be a quick like black and white on and off switch, but it's still kind of scary to think about.
Are you feeling the pressure of like choosing college and like what you want to do?
Oh my gosh, definitely.
It seems like you're putting a lot more pressure on yourself than I maybe did at your age.
I have such an idea of what I really want to do and the fear of like possibly not being able to do that due to like not being able to make a comfortable amount of money, or school is really expensive to get there, or like knowing people is really difficult, or things like that. Also, like with the uprise of like AI and just like art isn't taken as seriously anymore, and just things like that all combined to one thing. I feel like I need to have more of a job that's like what people need more than what like I want to do to follow my dreams. But I also know that I'm going to really regret it if I don't follow my dreams. I want to like runway fashion designer. That's my idea. That's what I really want to do. If you've ever seen the live action Cruella movie, that is literally what I'm trying to base my life off of. And it has been for like the last 3 years, like since it came out.
I wish I had advice for that, but I don't, because it is stressful even for me of like, what do I want to do next? And like AI also, and like, how do you make a living and do what you love at the same time? And I've been so lucky thus far, but it is kind of plateauing and slowing down, you know, the amount of money that I'm able to make doing this and everything. So the practical side of me is also like, should I get a jobby job?
I don't know. I still don't know. I really don't. I applied for like 40 jobs yesterday. I was just like scrolling on Indeed and LinkedIn and Nextdoor. It like just like gets to a point where it just like starts to hurt your brain, because then you just feel like you're putting yourself into a box of like, okay, well now I need to make money. Do I have these skills? Can I do this and that? And what's my resume look like? Does this even look good? Like, is this what I need? Is this qualification? It's just like so much. Yeah, I need to do that.
You got this, sister.
I need to update my resume though.
Another highlight from France was the day in Lyon. So first of all, we loved Lyon a lot.
Lyon was so, that I think that might have been my favorite place. Yeah. Like, I know Paris has all the touristy things that like you need to see, which is true, but like Lyon, it's so just like comfortable. Like, it feels like you actually live there. The river separates, or I don't know if it's the Rhone or the Rhone.
There's two.
Yeah, what side were we on?
West of the Rhone,
and that was like the old Lyon. And then you cross the river and then you get into the middle part. And that's where like all like the shops and the clubs, and there's like this gay bar there, which was like great. And then there's like, do a bike tour if you're there, because like it's awesome. I was expecting to Lyon to be my least favorite.
Yeah. Like, we planned it. Our itinerary was Paris for 2 nights, then Lyon for 3 nights, then Nice for 3 nights, and then back to Paris for 3 nights. And the Lyon part was supposed to be like, you know, rest, break, not much to do, to kind of like gain our energy levels back before moving on to like what we thought would be the highlight. But Lyon was such a pleasant surprise. It is the second largest city in France, and it just has the vibes of like big city, but also not overwhelming. And the food, like, it's the gastronomy.
Absolutely amazing. There was not a bad meal that we had there.
Like, they don't call it the gastronomy. Gastronomique, capital of France for nothing. And my favorite day was the day that we went on a bike tour. We met this girl, met up with her later again. We yapped so hard, us three girls, that she literally missed her train to Paris. So she had a hard time like rebooking that. She finally figured it out. But it was just so fun. We just like ate a lot that day, crepes, and we ate at this like halal place that was so good. That's where you had your truffle ravioli.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. And it was just so fun to like meet a new friend, bop around the city, like chit chat. We were like on the same, the three of us were on the same wavelength as far as like humor goes.
We had a lot to relate to with her too, I feel, like as in like family aspects. It was very like meeting a different font of ourselves.
Totally. Are we going to talk about the haircut from hell?
I think you need to take this away first.
So I chopped my hair. In case you can't see, I cut off all my hair. I cut off 18 inches.
That's a foot and a half.
33 centimeters, 18 inches. It was down to my butt. I told myself as soon as my hair starts falling in my butt crack when I sit on the toilet to do my business, that's when it has to come off. It was just getting out of hand and cumbersome to function with, and I was really excited for short hair. I thought, what better place to chop my hair and get a bob than in Paris? So I had researched the shit out of salons, planned it, you know, as I do, tried to plan it perfectly with our day so that we're in the neighborhood that we want to be in, so that we could take like the picture that I want, so then we can also go get my hair done and then go to the dinner spot that we'd like to go and have the mousse again, which ended up not being there for us. But anyway, this was our last day. Oh, I also did not tell my husband. I was just going to come back with a bob. So I had really high hopes and expectations around how the day would go, what I would look like, how the content and photos would come out, and how like our last night in Paris was. And I feel like the more I've just learned time and time again, the harder I try, the more it ends up fucking me. Yeah.
You try and control the flow.
Yeah. Try to control the flow, and the flow does not want to be controlled.
Yep.
So I ended up at this salon that had superb reviews. I feel like you need to tell it because I don't even know how to tell it.
All right. In preparation for this, my sister had asked like, oh, do you speak English? Which like, it's fine if you don't speak English, but be honest about it.
And I took 5 years of French. Like my French is not terrible. I can get around if somebody speaks slowly.
Yeah. And
I messaged the salon in advance to make sure that my stylist was comfortable being on video because I didn't want to just like take videos of somebody who wasn't prepared for it. So I DM'd the salon and I said two things like, do you speak English? And would my stylist be comfortable on video? They said yes to both.
They were very eager to get you into the salon, but as soon as you were booked, it was like, okay, they're booked. Like, we don't care anymore.
So they stopped responding. Oh, this was the thing that actually broke my heart. Okay, I think I'm ready to tell this.
All right.
Now.
I'm listening. Sorry.
Thanks for planting the seeds.
Of course.
So the two things that I asked were, do you speak English? Is stylist comfortable being on video? And then once I was booked, I said, hey, you know, it's my sister's birthday. Would it be possible to like surprise her with a blowout so that way she's not just like sitting there watching me get my hair done? I thought it would be like really fun for you to also get your hair done on her last night in Paris. So they were like, we'll get back to you. This was 6 days in advance. We were still in Lyon, haven't even gone to Nice yet. We're coming back to Paris the following week. So they're like, we'll get back to you. Did not get back to me. I followed up a few days later. Hey, checking in if you can get my sister. I keep getting their like automated DM response. And then the day rolls around and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to like hope for the best. You know, it was like a Thursday night. I've asked enough times. Maybe there will be a stylist there to take care of my sister. No response. We come in and like nobody was able to do your hair. And nobody even like said anything about it, which the only reason that upset me is because I didn't want to make the last day like all about me. And then again, the more I tried to not make it about me, the more it became about me because suddenly I was like stressed and flustered. And I hated that you had to spend our last day of the trip like consoling me once again. It was kind of a mess this trip.
Don't worry about it. I mean, it could have been worse.
So we get into the salon and not a lick of English, which is fine. And I'm like, okay, can you repeat, you know, repete, s'il vous plaît. I showed her a photo. I feel like I'm losing my train of thought because I try to like block out this experience so badly. basically, like, she started very quickly tying my hair until, you know, the rubber bands, and just started chopping it. And I had asked Alana to take a video of my hair being chopped. I've been growing it for so many years. I really wanted it on a video. The stylist was like going at it so quickly that Alana didn't even get a single second of my hair coming off. The whole thing was just very, very fast. I felt like when somebody's doing like a big hair chop like that, I don't mind being treated casually. And I know it's like there are bigger problems in the world than like some white girl getting her hair cut. But it was like a big deal to me. And I was kind of prepared, you know, is expecting, which was my fault, but I was expecting a stylist to be like, okay, you ready? Un, deux, trois. And then like start cutting with the scissors. This happened so fast. It was really hot. I don't think there's aircon in many places and in Paris. And I was trying to hold it together. And the more I tried to hold it together, the more I felt myself bubbling it up. So she shampooed. I'm like holding back tears. I'm trying to put a smile on my face, just like talk to my sister. And then, you know, a couple times I kind of try to stop her and I was like, wait, what are you doing? She was like thinning my hair. And I saw like, you know, when you get your hair thinned, I have very thick hair. So I saw a lot of my hair coming out and that can be like a little bit shocking. She just didn't even take a second to be like, it's okay. Like, I got you. Let's make sure we're on the same page. French, English, whatever. The other stylist actually spoke English. So she was able to do like a little bit of translating. So there were ways to like get on the same page. But this lady, she had no patience with me and not a single like moment for me to like even catch my breath to prepare myself for the scissors that were going to be snipping at my face. Then what really like kind of set me off, and this whole time I thought I was annoyed with my sister for like not taking the video. And then I realized that I was really, well, then I thought I was like, I just don't like the stylist. And then I had like the enlightened moment where I'm like, no, I'm just really mad at myself for not being able to advocate for like what I needed in that moment was just for the person with the scissors in their hand to slow down and make sure they understood me. So I finally broke and realized that when I asked her three times, like I told her three times, I part my hair in the center. I feel like center is a universal word. I just pointed to my hair. And I said, center, center. And every time she was like, yeah, yeah. And she did not part my hair in the center. And then she starts cutting my bangs. Cutting bangs that I didn't even really want, at least not that short, without having my hair parted where I liked it. And that's where I just like kind of snapped. And I was like, it's not in the center. Like these bangs are going to be crooked if my part is not where I want it to be. And then the other stylist kind of starts intervening. And then the other stylist's client, who speaks perfect English, was really trying to help. And she was trying to explain. And at this point, I'm crying. I don't even like have words. I'm just crying because I'm like, there were so many things that I just like very politely asked for, like really tried to, I'm getting emotional even thinking about it because I tried so hard to be extra, extra kind and like cognizant of cultural differences and like patient and respectful and like, okay, it's just hair, like whatever, Mary, stop making a big deal out of it. And then the more I like was gaslighting myself like that, the more bitter and resentful I got, until eventually I was just like absolutely like devastated by the whole experience, because in my head it was supposed to be so different. It was supposed to be like fun and I got my cute little video and Alana and I would laugh and everything. And instead I just walked out of the salon sobbing at how I was being treated. And, you know, they took my money and ushered us out as quickly as I came in with like not a single word of like, do you like your hair? Like nothing. Like it was just like, we were like pushed out as quickly as we were sucked into that mess. So it was like a very chaotic hour. And then Alana spent the next hour or two or three trying to make me feel better about the whole thing.
Cause like her hair turned out absolutely beautiful. Look at my beautiful sister. But I can tell that you were just upset with the way that you were treated. You elaborated later on it, how you were upset with just the way that you didn't speak out about it. And I feel like that's important to recognize, because a lot of people don't know how to speak out against something that they don't like or they don't agree with, or that somebody's trying to convince them that it's just fine, it's normal. When like, if you don't like something, it should be normalized to have the confidence to speak out about it. I feel like in that moment, you definitely recognize that like you need to be more
Assertive.
Assertive, yeah. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for.
I had this moment where I was like, if the roles were flipped and you were in the chair, oh my God, I would literally grab this woman's hand and be like, stop cutting. Let's figure this out first, you know? But I couldn't do that for myself. And I look to you to protect me. And I look to just like somebody else, you know, whether the stylist and the stylist's client to like translate for me. But I couldn't, you know, I kind of let myself down in that moment too, because I wasn't able until I was in too deep, until my bangs were already cut and my part was wrong and my hair was gone. I wasn't able to be like, at it, like stop for 1 second.
Yeah, that's just
the lesson.
The lesson, like we would do anything for like somebody else that we love and we'd speak out about it. But for ourselves, it's a different story. Yeah. And I wish that I would have spoken out about it for you, but I was convinced you were mad at me for not getting the video. And I felt so bad for like the rest of the day about not getting this video.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel that bad about it. That wasn't as important to me as like having a good last night, truly.
And it was still a good last night. I promise, don't think of it as ruined, because it wasn't. I mean, it was a rough, really rough part, but I feel like we definitely made it up for us.
Yeah, we made the most out of it.
We stayed up late. We laughed. We giggles. We ran around the Eiffel Tower.
We debriefed the haircut from hell a couple times, adding new details in every time, which helps.
It really does, guys. Like, if you're not over something, talk about it until you are. And even if you never are, then just keep it as your yap up time.
Yeah. Because
eventually
you start laughing at it.
Yeah, exactly. We definitely had a topic we like to laugh about pretty often, but I won't mention that.
Anytime we're like, there's a quiet moment, we'll be like, so do you want to talk about this like weird family drama situation one more time?
Yeah. And this is like the seventh time we've done it on this trip, but like, let's say it one more time.
Oh my God. That's like, yeah. Well, I'm really grateful that you were there, because that's the kind of sister bonding that, even though I wish it happened in like a different setting, a different way, if I could have it all my way, begrudgingly so, I have come to accept that that's something I'll remember for the rest of my life. I'm sure there are more metaphors and micro lessons for me to pack out of that experience on a personal level.
How do you think mom would have handled it?
That's the thing. Mom's not very assertive. She's very polite.
I feel like it's a weird line, because she would also like kill for us. Like, she would do anything for us, I feel.
She's a complex character, because in some ways she's like super chill, has always let me and you kind of do our own thing and run amok, you know, without too much supervision. But then on the other hand, she has like, she's like very Scorpio energy. I feel like quintessential Scorpios are like, they're cool, and then bah, and they bah. And I think mom can be that way sometimes. I feel like if we were to tell her this story, first of all, when I sent her a picture of my haircut, she didn't say anything.
She didn't notice.
When I saw her, when I came over, she didn't say anything. And it was to a point where my husband was like, hey, Lena, do you like my hair? And she's like, yes, I love your hair. And Stan was like, do you like Ilana's hair? She's like, of course, I love Ilana's hair. And my husband's like, do you like your husband's hair? She was like, yes, I love his hair. And then he comes to me, he's like, do you like Manya's hair? And my mom was like, yes, I love Manya's hair. Like, in the same tone.
Yeah.
As if like nothing has changed. So I think the mom and I have had a lot of deep personal growth talks. And one thing that I kind of get from her is that she's very humbling, in that if we were to tell her this story, she would probably eat it up and like to hear about it and be like, oh my God, like, I can't believe that happened to you. But then in the same breath, she would be like, ah, it's just hair. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Her motto in life is, it's just hair. It's not teeth.
Yeah, this is true. Like, when I went to go dye my hair dark brown and they put straight black dye in my hair and I cried to mom.
Yeah.
She was like, It'll fade.
Or that one time
permanent black dye.
Or that one time you toppled down the stairs okay, should we tell this one more time? We've told this story so many times. What's one more?
What's one more, I guess.
So my sister, it's pandemic. She's spending a lot of time with me, but she's also going in between her dad and our mom's houses. So she's living at three houses, okay? Do you want to tell it?
Sure. I had these two massive duffels full of like clothes and hygiene products, what you would take if you're going to sleep over at another parent's house. I also had these giant new boots that my mom had just bought me. Like, for a little backstory, I was in middle school. I was going through the awkward, like, trying to fit in with the alternative emo kids, but also trying to be like kind of cool enough for these alternative emo kids and figure out what I actually want to do, because I'm an art kid and I don't dress like everyone else.
It was kind of giving Avril Lavigne punk with a big dash of floral.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. With my straight across bangs, my pin straight hair that wasn't straight in the back because I couldn't do it like that, my giant boots, my floral skirt, and my really tight black top. Oh, and don't forget the knee-high black socks I would wear with these boots. Absolutely insane. Okay. Anyways, I have these giant boots on with these giant duffel bags, and I'm at the top of the stairs ready to walk down. Suddenly, I feel, I don't know if it was a gust of wind or like somehow I'm starting to lean forward. And all of a sudden, my vision goes black. I don't remember the rest of this. I remember ending up at the bottom of these stairs, and I am on top, legs in the air.
Like
legs up, belly down, face bashed into this freaking duffel bag. And the reason I fell was because of these duffel bags. But also, I like would have been concussed if it weren't for these duffel bags. And I don't remember falling down. I don't know how I fell down. So when she says I somersaulted.
Somersaulted. Yes. Like a dreidel.
Like a dreidel.
Somersaulted down the stairs like a dreidel. Me and mom are standing downstairs chit-chatting, and then suddenly Lana somersaulted down the stairs. She's rolling, like full rolling down the stairs, lands with her legs up, wide open, face planted and everything. And I start, well, there was like a moment of like utter silence.
And then, okay, you'll never guess what our mom said next. You would think like, oh, your child just somersaulted down like we have a pretty big staircase. We're just somersaulting down. You would have think like maybe, oh, let's check and see if she's concussed. No. She goes, okay, let's go to art. I had an art class after that. Let's go to art. She's like, okay, now that that's over with, let's just go to art.
I was shocked. My jaw was on the floor. And at first I was like, is she okay? And then I realized like you were more or less okay. So I start laughing. Before I could even like utter any more words, mom's like, okay, let's go to art.
Oh my gosh. That just kind of sums up our mom.
That's our mom.
If you're enjoying our self-love podcast, please take a moment to leave a comment or a review letting me know what your biggest takeaway was. As somebody who works mostly behind the scenes on this podcast, I love hearing from you, and it just keeps me connected to the purpose, which is always to spread the gift of self-love.